At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
Don't make the mistake. It's still Bama. Now they got Ryan Grubb. It's still Bama. They got their heart broke last year. Didn't make the college football playoff. Got SMU picked over you. Indiana picked over you. It's still Bama. And at the end of the day, the standard is still the same. What is up, everybody? Thank you guys for joining Crane & Company today, making it an everyday watch or listen. Remember, without you, there is no us. And boys, whew, we've reached the time.
I can already feel the confidence.
It's prediction time. Put your hands together.
That's today.
Let's go.
Wow.
Somebody get excited about
doing
something.
That today?
We're doing it today. Now, if you've watched Crane & Company in the past, the way we used to do this was we would wait right until the end of fall camp, and we'd have a couple like mega conference episodes where we'd tell you every regular season record of every team in the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Big 12, and even a couple others. But we decided to mix it up a little bit this year and go single team, single day, regular season predictions. Now, we're going to give you who's going to make the playoff and who's going to win the conference right before kickoff. But we're going to start today, fellas, with one of the biggest brands in the sport. Love them or hate them. And I do want to throw this caveat in here. You know, I think one thing that separates our show from some other ones is that everybody's a fan of somebody. And we are unabashedly, we'll tell you who we're a fan of. But we don't let that get in the way of the analysis. So do not think for a second that because we want one team to win deep in our hearts, that we're not going to use our heads to tell you what we actually think are going to happen. Because our job isn't to tell you what we hope happens. It's to tell you what we think is going to happen on the betting front, on the over-under win total front, on who is going to win the national championship and beyond. So thank you guys for trusting us. Our July numbers were absolutely out of control, and we know this August is going to be even better. So make sure you subscribe if you already haven't. So Alabama, before we get into this, because we're going to have every regular season game listed up here, we're going to go through it game by game, and we're going to tell you who we think wins or loses and why. But David, I want to start with you. Give me one thing about Alabama, this team, that you're really confident about, and give me one thing that you're worried about.
Okay, so what I'm really confident in for Alabama is the experience on the line of scrimmage, offensively and defensively. You got Caden Proctor on offense. You got guys like Tim Keenan III and LT Overton on the defensive line of scrimmage. That, to me, is what is going to dictate games, especially late in the season, especially when you're having to go on the road and play this SEC schedule. Questions, obviously, we have talked and we'll continue to talk ad nauseum about a new quarterback in Ty Simpson, but I'm really interested to see what is the Alabama mentality in the building year two without Nick Saban. You know, we've heard these stories about, oh, well, you know, now we're not allowed to show up to practice late anymore, and now the screws have kind of been tightened. And I wonder how much of that is like blown out of proportion with media coverage and how much of that is like really true. I mean, you've gone from the winningest coach in college football history to a new coach. This is year two. There's a lot of pressure to continue that standard, to continue that excellence. What's that mentality like in the building, and what's the pressure like to get to the college football playoff?
I like that. Blaine, what about you? Give me one thing you're confident in and one thing you're a little worried about.
Well, I mean, I'm confident in every position really other than quarterback for Alabama. We should have similar answers when it comes to this Alabama team. I think Alabama right now, if you look at them from a roster standpoint, has one of the best rosters in the country. If I said I'm worried about anything, we'll see with Ty. Ty doesn't have to be the hero when it comes to this Alabama team. I think he can be good and take them to the promised land. But the one thing I'm interested to see in this Alabama team, I want to see the system on offense.
Yeah.
Right? I really want to see the engine get going and Alabama knowing who they are. It doesn't mean you have to come out and throw it 40 times or run it 40 times, but playing against what the defense is giving you and the Ryan Grubb, Kalen DeBoer dynamic and how that fits rolling through the season.
Well, I'm with you 100%. I am as confident, and I don't think it's been talked about enough. I think the biggest offseason acquisition from any team in the country was Alabama getting Ryan Grubb back. Because when I look at Ryan Grubb, and I'm talking about the offensive coordinator, if you don't know out there, is coming from the Seahawks, which I don't think they should have fired him. I don't think it was Ryan Grubb's fault with what happened when you really look at the numbers and the way it went down in Seattle. But what I love about Ryan Grubb is that he understands it's not about me. It's not about me showing the world that I can trick everybody or deceive everybody. He is going to throw the pitch that his players are best at throwing. When you look at Michael Penix Jr., he knew with that wide receiver core and Michael Penix Jr., we need to throw to run. Not that I don't like running the ball or I want to make myself look great by throwing for 400 yards. This is what we're best at. It puts my players in the best position to win. With Ty Simpson, I don't think you could ask for a better play caller, because Ryan Grubb is like a DARE officer. It's his job to keep you out of bad situations. If Alabama goes into a game like I think they will with Florida State and they're better on the line of scrimmage, he is going to exploit that. He is going to make it easier for his quarterback. He's not going to try and fit a square peg into a round hole. And I think that will do nothing but elevate Ty Simpson's play. Because guess what? You know what? Sexy scoring points, getting first downs, getting chunks of yards, right? Not just running trick plays or taking shots down the field. He is going to do whatever it takes for Alabama to move the ball. So I'm really confident in Ryan Grubb. I think that was a huge pickup.
Can I follow up on that point?
Of course, go ahead.
I mean, I don't want to get in the way of your second point. But just on the offensive coordinator specifically, when you have a defensive-minded coach like Nick Saban, it's imperative that you get someone like a Lane Kiffin or Steve Sarkisian. And we saw when those Alabama
got some imagination
really cooking, right? Those guys calling offensive plays when you have a defensive-minded coach. But with Kalen DeBoer, he's an offensive guy. It was always going to be his system. And so when Ryan Grubb didn't come over and he decided to be the offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks, and they promoted Nick Sheridan, who was on that staff at Washington when they made the national championship. That's why I didn't think that it was like there was going to be a big missing piece for them, right? Because I actually liked the style of offense that Sheridan called for Jalen Milroe last year more than I did the style of offense that Tommy Rees was calling 2 years ago, even though Jalen Milroe statistically, I mean, had a better year in that system, was sixth in Heisman Trophy voting, and Alabama made the college football playoff and, you know, lost to Michigan in the Rose Bowl, what was a play away from playing in the national championship. I still liked the way the offense was tailored around Jalen Milroe a year ago. Now you're going to have a new offensive coordinator coming in with a new quarterback. You know, like, how much of it is going to be like now they're starting a quarterback who plays the style of football that they're accustomed to more so than just Ryan Grubb coming?
Yeah, and sometimes, and again, I use baseball analogies all the time for quarterback, you're not going to have a guy that's going to go out there and strike out 12 guys a game. Sometimes you got to pitch to contact, and out is an out. Right. And with Ty Simpson, I think he has the ability to do that. Similar to a little bit like when we were talking with Brando with Greg McElroy. You know, the one thing I've been worried about with Alabama until about a week ago was their same thing with LSU. You got all these great players on the offensive line, but you still struggled to run the ball consistently well. I think that was a big problem for Alabama last year. But the more I think about it from a defensive standpoint going against Alabama, that Jalen Milroe team, how much was I worried about the pass? I think they could be way more balanced this year on offense, which will take a lot of pressure out of that offensive line. You'll have lighter boxes. You'll have even boxes. People won't say, yeah, you got Ryan Williams, but you're going to have to throw to beat us, Jalen Milroe.
And Ty can run, too.
And Ty can run. Not like Jalen. I'm not saying
Jalen's a receiver.
Professor X in a wheelchair. But at the end of the day, I think this Alabama team could be more balanced because of that legitimate passing attack. You got Bernard on one side. You got Williams on the other. You got other guys that are capable. So I'm not as worried about that as I was up until a week ago when I really started thinking at it from the defensive side. So again, in the comments, we want you to tell us, what is your Alabama season record? The regular season record. So only 12 games. Guys, the schedule, and it's not easy, right? But there are some breaks in it, including going on the road in Georgia when you got a bye week before. But let's start with the first game of the season in year two, which Kalen DeBoer typically does pretty well in year two. We'll see how he does this year. At Florida State in Tallahassee, David Cone, who do you have winning that game and why?
Slaughter.
Slaughter? I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's crazy at all.
Slaughter.
I don't think that's crazy at all. Blaine?
I think it's close early. I think it's close early, but I think Alabama pulls away.
Yeah, it'll start 0-0.
Well, obviously. No, I think you're walking. I think you're going into third quarter. I think Bama's up 10.
Okay.
Something like that. But I think Bama ends up winning this game by 17, 20 points.
Yeah, I think Alabama covers. I don't know what that spread's at
12 and a half.
It's at 12 and a half last time you saw it. I think, again, back to my original point, the line of scrimmage is where Florida State, I thought, was the worst last year. DJU was not great. We knew DJU wasn't going to be great. If you watch the show, we told you that because we knew who he was. The difference in this one is that Castellanos may make a couple wow plays, but I think we get a sack fumble early in this one that gives Alabama a really good field position, and it kind of snowballs from there. And when you look at the line of scrimmage, that is the biggest advantage that Alabama has over Florida State. So they don't have to put all the ornaments on the tree. They just got to show up at Christmas and not drink too much. That's what it feels like.
I think the great equalizer in that game for Florida State could be the two coordinators coming in. You know, like
that 3-3-5 on defense with Tony White.
Right.
But I'd run it right at it, though, Conan. I'd run it right at it.
Yeah, I know, and that's probably going to be the plan. But a new quarterback on the road, Doak Campbell gets rocking, new defensive coordinator coming in, you're going to have Gus Malzahn calling plays on offense and a Florida State team that won two games a year ago. Like, you can't be any more amped up than that. I do find it interesting that Thomas Castellanos, sort of the narrative throughout the offseason is, well, the ACC couldn't stop me, so Alabama's not going to be able to stop me either. And then sort of twisted that to, us as a team.
Yeah. He's backtracking quickly, which is smart if I was him. But I do think Florida State's going to come out early and play.
Oh, they're not. I don't think Florida State's going to be afraid. I just think they're beat up. But gravity is a real thing. It's not just something that hit Isaac Newton on the head. So, week two, ULM. We love our boy Bryant Vincent.
BV.
Coach with him. Thanks for showing up. Take your money. Good luck in the Sun Belt season. I think we all have that one as a win. Week three, Wisconsin at home. Love me some Luke Fickell. I'll continue to say it. I don't think that job is as easy as what some people think it is. But at the end of the day, I don't think Wisconsin is fast enough or overall athletic enough to hang with what Alabama has. They may have some guys in the trenches that can hold up for a while. I'm just not seeing it over four quarters. I think Alabama, big statement win at home after going up there on the road last year and handling business. I've got Alabama starting out, guys, 3-0.
Win. I think I might be at that game, actually.
Really? Is it? You said Richard?
Richard Todd. Yeah, my father-in-law, Richard, is going to get honored at halftime. I think it was for their championship season, the national.
Good for him.
Something like that. I don't know all the details, but I've got an Alabama win.
Oh, yeah. This is belt to ass.
Belt to ass.
Belt to ass. Ryan Williams is 200-plus receiving yards.
Really? Good. I drafted him in my college football fantasy draft last night.
Wow, good for you.
All right, guys. Week four.
Here it is.
First mega test. There's a couple on here for Bama. But the first mega test. You're on the road in Athens. Remember the game last year? I thought it was the game of the year. First half, Bama big. Georgia comes back in the second half. Carson Beck on fire. Ryan Williams basically does a ballet recital at the end of the game down the sidelines to end up putting Alabama ahead, and they win it. Both teams, fellas, get a bye heading into this one. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I think this is one of the games where the rosters are similar talent-wise. New quarterbacks, right? We got a little bit of a bigger sample size, obviously, with Gunnar Stockton than we do with Ty Simpson. I am leaning toward the home team in this game with all equal parts. I got Georgia winning in overtime.
Ooh.
Peyton Woodring hits a field goal in overtime to win the game.
I have Georgia as well, with the deciding factor being at home there in between the hedges. These two programs have been mirror images of each other for the last several years. And now that's even more the case when you have really two of the best rosters in the country, but you're also starting new quarterbacks, and there's a lot of questions. I can't wait for this football game. We were at this one a year ago, and
incredible.
Boy, did it deliver. I mean, 28-0 at one point for Alabama. Georgia storms back. They have to throw a Hail Mary to Ryan Williams to win the game at the end. I think this is going to be another tight game. Give me the home team, Georgia, in this one.
I'm taking Alabama in this game.
You got Bama. Wow.
And we'll talk about this more, but I don't know how much I believe in Gunnar Stockton. I think Ty Simpson's feet in this game on big third downs is going to be a difference. I think Alabama's secondary. This is when the game, Gunnar Stockton is going to make multiple mistakes at big moments. I think Ty Simpson rises to the challenge, and Alabama goes into Athens and wins field goal late.
Well, and again, I say wow, but I mean, this is a 55-45 game to me. And the 55 is because Georgia's at home. Mm-hmm. So kind of to your point. So we both have Alabama starting 3-1. You have Alabama starting 4-0. And at that point, could be number one in the country. They go on the road and beat Georgia if Georgia's undefeated. Then the next week, boys, revenge game. This made, if you haven't seen our revenge game list, this was number two. Alabama hosting I cannot believe these words are going to come out of my mouth. The team that beat them last year.
Dangerous.
Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt. You said Slaughter in week one. You said Belt to ass against Wisconsin in week three. I think this one is the Tuscaloosa Massacre.
Okay.
It's going to be the Tuscaloosa Massacre. And listen, I think Diego Pavia, it's great. I love what Clark Lee and Barton Simmons and Vanderbilt are doing. But it's one thing to have Vanderbilt beat Alabama and nobody say anything after it and everybody just be happy. Bama was already going to be pissed, okay, because of the standard and who Alabama rightfully believes that they are. But then you come out and you run your mouth about them. Like I said, I think Diego Pavia could be the first citizen outside of Ellen DeGeneres and or Rosie O'Donnell, so maybe the third citizen, to self-deport
after
the United
this?
States after wow. this. That's what I think they're going
to do.
You mentioned LT Overton.
What's the score have to be to self-deport yourself?
I think Alabama wins this game 48-3.
Okay.
Are you self-deporting after that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking like 125 to
yeah,
nothing.
It's got no. like 70.
But again, it's not just the score. It's what they do to you on the play. If I'm Diego, there's going to be a lot of balls out quick.
Yeah.
Balls out quick. Let's throw it away. I'm not trying to go fight for three in this one early because they're going to try and break this man. And you know what? That if they're not hating, you ain't doing something right.
Yeah, no, I love that.
So it's actually a
compliment. Tuscaloosa Massacre is pretty
Massacre.
Good, even yeah. though I don't think the term has yet been invented to truly describe what's going to happen on this week. And I say this as someone who's a big Clark Lee fan and Diego Pavia fan,
yeah.
gamer of the highest order. I love it. But you know what makes it worse? Alabama hasn't said anything.
No.
They haven't said anything.
No.
Mom's the word.
And that's the makes word. It so it's almost like when worse. Your parents, I'd rather my parents yell at me than just be disappointed in me. That's kind of what it feels
Ooh.
Like.
Vandy. Back to back.
There's no way.
No, yeah, okay. yeah, good.
42-17, 48-17.
Okay, somewhere around there. All right, so we have Bama starting out 4-1. You have Bama at 5-0. Then the next week, no bye week, they're going to Missouri. This Missouri team, I think, is going to look a lot different
yeah.
than the ones we've seen in the past with Drinkwitz, with Bo Prabula there now. Going to be more of a ball control. You're going to see him run it. I think they again, do that to the max level. To try and limit the amount of possessions that Alabama will have. Even though I think this Missouri defense, guys, could be kind of sneaky good. I would not be surprised if we look up at halftime and Bama's up by a touchdown, or maybe this one's tighter. But again, on that offensive line at Missouri, you had a couple good pickups in the portal. But I just feel like that front seven Alabama, if Prabula can't throw the ball decently well and they're going to be one-dimensional, you have no dimensions mm-hmm. if you do that against Alabama. I don't think Missouri can score outside of field goals. Because again, when you get in the red zone, what does that field do, guys?
Shrinks.
It shrinks, right? You got to be able to find different ways. I like Alabama to win this game and move on to the next week.
Yeah, I have Alabama going on the road and winning too. I have a lot of questions about this Missouri team. I mean, what do you guys think it would take for Missouri to not just win a game like this against Alabama, but really sort of get back to that 10-win mark again this year if they're going to look so different?
Well, to me, it's got to be one of two things. I think the defense will be solid. I don't think it'll be elite. I don't think it'll be bad. I think it'll be solid. I think it'll give them a chance in some of these games. But two things have to happen offensively with the style of quarterback that you have. One, your offensive line either has to be so damn good that you can run the ball with the quarterback as well, get a hat on a hat, right, even box at all times, that it opens up some matchups on the outside that makes easier throws for Bo, or he's just a better passer than what we think. He just ends up being a more natural guy throwing the ball on all three levels, not just short, not just intermediate with digs and things like that, but down the field, being able to drop it in the bucket on long pass plays. Those two things have to happen for Missouri, I think, to max out this season. And again, not that they couldn't happen, but I definitely have to see that first. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an ass beating. I think the way Alabama's built Missouri this year is just not their personnel's not built to beat an Alabama team.
All right, so you have Bama right now at this point undefeated. So that would
untouched.
Be 6-0. I have him at 5-1. And then, guys, we got a rivalry game. Tennessee coming to T-Town. David, even with Nico,
mm-hmm.
I already had Alabama winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tennessee's defense could be close to what it was last year. I don't think it will be exactly what it was. I think they're going to be damn good because they've recruited well and developed well on that side of the ball. This is where I think, even with the Josh Heupel pre-snap offense that gives you a lot of answers with what they do and tries to simplify it and go fast, I think Joey Aguilar tries to do too much in this game. I think this is one where he goes in and says, this is where I write my name in the stone as a Tennessee quarterback that came over late from UCLA because Nico left and did this, that, and the other. And I think this is the game where the Alabama secondary has not one, but two pick sixes. And Tennessee is not able to just muster up enough offensively with those mistakes to win on the road in Tuscaloosa. I have Alabama at 7-1.
This is one that could be made more interesting if it were in K-Town, even though I'd probably still take Alabama. But the fact that it's in Tuscaloosa and Tennessee got that spring surprise with Nico leaving, I feel pretty good right now about taking Alabama in that game.
Yeah, I like Alabama in this game, too. I think Tennessee takes a step back this year. I really do. Just from a personnel standpoint, as much as you lost, you have a couple good pieces, but I don't think the quarterback's going to be what everybody thinks it is. And I think Alabama at home, just a better football team.
I agree. All right. So, next game. Today's episode is sponsored by our friends over at Raycon. Because don't you just love when one of your favorites comes back even better? I mean, again, we've used Raycon. They've been a sponsor of the show for a long time. I will not get any other set of earbuds other than these because they're fantastic. And guess who's back and better than ever before? Well, it's Raycon's fan favorite Everyday Earbuds Classic. Really big seller for viewers of Crane & Company. Now they pack active noise cancellation. I'm telling you, these are the perfect way to tune out all the chaos around you and focus on something that's actually worth listening to. Now, the latest version of Raycon's Everyday Earbuds Classic finally has what we've all been waiting for. Like I said, active noise cancellation. If you have a house full of kids, you know how important this is. That was literally the one thing that they were missing. And now they've got it. It's perfect. Plus, you're getting 8 hours of playtime with a 32-hour battery life. So honestly, these things, they never have to leave your ears. I mean, it's a dual threat for sure. I know mine barely do. Now, when you look at their audio quality, it seriously rivals all the big name brands that you know and love, but you're paying half the price for the same product. And if you don't want to take my word for it, just check out their tens of thousands of five-star reviews. The proof's right there. I use them when I go jogging. There's no wires. Again, the active noise cancellation is fantastic. So go to buyraycon.com/booster and get another 20% off the fan favorite Everyday Earbuds Classic. Plus, you get free shipping on every pair of them. And right now, Raycon is offering that 20% off on those Everyday Earbuds, but you got to go to buyraycon.com/booster. We know a lot of y'all go to the games and want to listen to the radio broadcast. You need these. Trust me. This episode, again, sponsored by our friends over at Raycon. Have you heard about it?
Shameless plug, maybe?
Shameless.
Listen to The Richest Man in Town, new album on your Raycon.
Definitely. You get everything. It's 2025. Grow up. Figure it out.
Boom.
It doesn't get easier. Alabama goes to South Carolina. A lot of people are high on the Gamecocks. We talked to Shane Beamer at SEC Media Days. I get it. At any point in time, South Carolina could have the best two players on the field on each side of the ball with Lenore Sellers and then Dylan Stewart on the other side. Where I'm with South Carolina, I'm trust but verify right now. I know what you're going to have on Lenoris. I know they've gotten some good news on the eligibility front with some other guys. Nicholas Harbor is an Olympic sprinter out there at 6'5" at wide receiver. But what made South Carolina last year, I thought, wasn't just Lenoris, and it wasn't just Dylan Stewart, the young talented edge rusher. It was that front seven in general that South Carolina had that led to them to have the fourth overall ranked defense. They were able to stay in games, including the Alabama game in Tuscaloosa, by being able to stop the run and making Jalen Milroe throw it to beat them. And you lose six of that front seven. I know they've got talented guys that have replaced them. Kennard won the Nagurski guys. They had some upper echelon NFL players. If they can get close to back to that, South Carolina could possibly win this game. But I don't know that yet. And I'm not just going to go off pure speculation and guesses. I've got to see it. I know what Bama has. So I think Alabama goes on the road to South Carolina and wins this football game to go to 8-1.
Score?
I think this game, I actually think it's going to be low scoring. I'm going to say Alabama wins. Give me 23-20. 23-20. Alabama wins. What do you got, Blaine?
Oh, I got Alabama winning this game.
You do?
Yeah. Because a couple reasons. One, Lenore Sellers, probably good enough to win the Heisman. Dylan Stewart, good enough to be the best defensive player in the country. I think Kilgore is a great piece.
In the secondary,
Nick Harbor is an absolute freak. I like Michael Smith at tight end. But the thing about it is, Alabama up front is better. It's head and shoulders better than South Carolina. Lenore Sellers is going to have to freak out for four quarters
to
beat this Alabama team. which I think Lenore's is going to be great, but I think the way Alabama is built, their secondary, I think it's going to be the best in the country. I think Ty Simpson is going to have a smooth game, no turnovers, manage everything he needs to manage, and Alabama sneaks a win out in South Carolina. Close. I think South Carolina, that stadium is going to be an absolute rocking, brother, rocking. But I think Alabama's just a better team right now. In my record, they're still undefeated.
Interesting.
I know
you're
that
both
look.
Wrong.
I know that look. I
South
know.
Carolina. Said it. South Carolina okay. gets a okay. win in okay. Columbia.
Let me tell you how this one's going to go, okay. boys.
Please.
Alabama's going to score first, and we're going to say ho-hum,
here
ho-hum,
we go.
Here we go again. Then things are going to get ugly for a bit. Ugly football game, scrappy. No one's really getting anything going. Man, what do we have to do to score some points? And then Dylan Stewart, who's been double-teamed for most of the night, not really doing too much, he's going to get one off the edge. Yeah. Strip sack fumble. Lenora Sellers, late in that game, leads the game-winning drive, 24-20. Gamecocks get a big one. Cox wow. up. Shane Beamer with
that
the huge
happens,
win.
Look, I'm wow. telling
that's
you right now.
That's going to happen.
Look,
6-2.
I'm telling you right that. Now, if that happens, because South Carolina plays Oklahoma at home the week before Alabama too now. So that one's going to be a physical ball. If that happens, I know the back half isn't exactly a walk amongst the tulips for South Carolina, but that means big things could be on the horizon.
And that's the fifth straight game right there for Alabama. Remember, they had the bye the week before Georgia, and they're going to go into a bye before they get LSU at home. Fifth straight game, three of those being on the road. I think South Carolina gets them one.
So right now you have Bama with two losses.
6-2.
6-2 at this point. Blaine, you have Alabama undefeated at this point. All right, then they got a bye week before, and again, this is why another reason why I'm high on Bama, at home against LSU. We know how crazy this game always is. I love that. This is one of my favorite games to watch every year. And it's funny the way this game has changed. Remember, it used to be, you remember like 9-0, like 16-10 or whatever it was. It used to be a defensive war where points, you could barely come across them. Now, you go back and look at some of these Bama LSU games. Jalen Milroe had the game of his life last year against LSU. High scoring. Go back to the Jaden Daniels Alabama game. But when I look at this one, this is where I think and where I just am having a hard time trusting LSU to be able to run the ball against this front. And then I think LSU's defense with Blake Baker is going to be a whole hell of a lot better. But they are going to be down when it comes to ability, Alabama's offense versus LSU's defense. Now, the way LSU's recruiting on the defensive line may not be that way for long, but I think this year I like Alabama at home in a massive game to move on and beat LSU. So at this point, with three games left, guys, I have got Alabama at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 1 with the lone loss coming at Georgia. That probably makes them a top five team in the country. Obviously, looking at the top of the SEC right now, David Cohn, LSU at home for the Crimson Tide. What say ye?
Same. I got the same right now, and this is another one kind of like Tennessee. Could be made more interesting if this game were in Baton Rouge. Being in T-Town, though, I like Alabama to pull this win off.
Yeah, I just can't trust LSU on defense yet after what I've seen, and I don't think Nussmeier is just going to be able to drop back and beat Alabama from in the pocket. So I like Alabama to win this game.
So you still have Alabama undefeated. Alabama is
unscathed.
Is 10-0 right now for the Dragon. Okay, the next week, 9-0. The next week, another home game. Boy, the stars are aligning for this one, fellas. Ty, you picked a great year to come in. They get Oklahoma in another revenge game. We mentioned Vandy, right? You get the Sooners, who I think are going to be a whole hell of a lot better. I'm high on Oklahoma. You'll see where I have them once we do our Oklahoma prediction. So make sure you Oklahoma fans check that one out. But Bama's been looking at pictures of this one in the weight room all offseason. Because it wasn't just that you lost. It's two things. It's the way you lost. You got bullied. Bama typically doesn't get bullied. And then this is the one at the end of the year.
Kept you out.
That kept you out.
Kept them out.
Kept you out. And look where it is, boys. It's about that same point as it was last year. And I've got Alabama with one loss. They understand with that second loss could put them in a position going to Auburn after they murder Eastern Illinois, which I think we're all going to have them. But I've got Alabama, even though they may be playing against the Heisman winner in John Mateer, beating Oklahoma.
Man.
In a physical brawl.
I thought you might go Oklahoma.
Brawl. Nope. I got Bama sitting there, fellas, after this one. at 9-1.
I looked at it. I looked at it for a long time.
You like to stare at it.
I looked at it for a long time, but I agree for all the same reasons. Kept him out of the playoff last year. Didn't even score a touchdown. Alabama fans just turning on Kalen DeBoer. They can't even score a touchdown at Oklahoma, who's brand new to the SEC. And again, we keep coming back to this theme. Now you get to host them in Tuscaloosa, maybe under the lights. I don't know what the game time is going to be for that one, but I can't wait for that football game.
Blaine, can I pencil you in for a win?
No.
No!
You can have all the pictures.
Oh, please, do your thing.
You can say whatever you want to say, revenge game. We didn't score a touchdown. That shit ain't going to matter. Because that quarterback at Oklahoma, I do think he's going to win the Heisman. I think he's going to have the biggest game of the season so far. I think he makes huge plays, not only in the air, but with his feet. Heisman moment plays. And I think Ty Simpson can't keep up with John Mateer. Give me Oklahoma beating Alabama at home.
How much of that, let me ask you this. How much of that has to do with where it is? Because Oklahoma, to your point, Blaine, gets a bye week
before
they head to Tuscaloosa.
Is that the first loss for Alabama on your schedule?
Yeah. Bama plays LSU at home the week before that. Not that there would be a hangover because what this game, what happened last year and what it represents. But I don't think, some people, if they didn't really look at this stuff, would think you're crazy. I don't think that's that crazy. So at this point, I have Alabama at 9-1. You have them at 9-1. Cone, you have them at 8-2.
8-2.
With two games left. Now, Eastern Illinois, thanks for playing. Don't let your wives or children watch this game. God, especially if Alabama loses, the things they're going to do to Eastern Illinois. I can assume we all have Alabama winning that one.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
No, dude. Well, again,
Eastern Illinois, sneaky team.
Yeah. Sneaky coming team off a loss. No. So we're heading into week 12, boys. Or not week 12, but game 12. The Iron Bowl. We've seen crazy things happen.
Do it.
Especially when it's where?
It's not all
hair. Bermuda Triangle,
Jordan
baby.
Hair. Y'all know where we're from? Lee County. This Auburn team, best roster they've had probably in the past 5 years. Offensive line we think is going to be better. We'll know about Jackson Arnold by now. But I just have one question that I keep coming back to when I want to pick Auburn to beat Alabama. Why? Why would I pick Auburn to beat Alabama? The roster's not better. Quarterbacks could be a wash, and Alabama have a huge advantage. Yes, it's at Jordan Hare. But what's happened to Jordan Hare lately? It don't hit the same the way it used to because Auburn's ass ain't holding up their end of the bargain on this. So why would I pick him? Every clutch moment last year on offense and defense. Couldn't get it done. So why should I pick him? I got Alabama going in there, and some Auburn fans will hate me for this, but I'm trying to win money. I'm trying to be right. I hope I'm wrong on this one. God, I hope I'm wrong. But I think Alabama goes in there, especially if they got two losses, Cone, in your situation, with their ass on the line. And until Auburn shows me that they can punch somebody back in the face and not run away and hide when the stuff gets tough, I'm going with Bama in the Iron Bowl.
So,
but I hope I'm wrong.
Alabama's
11-1.
11-1.
Wow. I'll get to why in a second. But y'all go ahead and talk your ish.
Good for you.
Talk your ish.
I made a serious mistake last year. I made a serious mistake. I picked Auburn in this game, Iron Bowl, for some of the reasons you were alluding to. What was it at that time? It was 4 in a row?
Yeah.
Now it's 5 in a row, but it was 4 in a row. The tide's got to turn at some point, pun intended. Auburn's got to win one of these. That affected my life in the household, okay? But it could have been all right if Auburn had won that game because I could be like, hey, babe, look, Auburn won. I just call them like I see them. But they didn't win. Let me down on that pick. I can't do it again. I've got Alabama winning the Iron Bowl in Jordan Hare, 10-2, boys. That ain't no guess. That's what it's going
to
be.
I watched Peyton Thorne take Alabama down to the wire in a game Auburn should have won with the worst roster. I think it's tough sledding. It's big waves in the Bermuda Triangle. And that's where you are when you go to the jungle. All right? And I know Auburn doesn't know how to finish people. Step on people's throats, and I get that. But I think this roster, with Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton being at Auburn with a new quarterback in Ty Simpson, who's been phenomenal all year, coming off a loss against Oklahoma, you beat Eastern Illinois to sleep. But sometimes...
You won't do it.
Sometimes you walk into the jungle with a better roster, and you don't come out with the win. Auburn's going to win this football game. Because, one, Jackson Arnold, he knows how to do what? He knows how to beat Alabama. Right? If there's a quarterback who knows how to beat Alabama, Jackson Arnold did that last year with a worse roster at Oklahoma than what he has at Auburn. But having Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton Jr., those two guys to where you can double one, but the other one can be a problem. I think Auburn finally sneaks one out against Alabama at home. And you can give the credit to the players, but damn it, you better give credit to the fans, because being at Auburn is going to make the difference.
10-2?
10-2.
10-2? 11-1. Quickly before we close, I'll tell you why. I just want to roll through a couple yes or no questions with y'all. Has Alabama's recruiting fallen off really at all since Saban's left?
No.
Is this, outside of an unproven quarterback, which we'll see, one of the best rosters in college football?
Yes. Hands down.
Is the standard at Alabama still elite or failure?
Yes.
Yes.
Don't make the mistake. It's still Bama. Now they got Ryan Grubb. It's still Bama. They got their heart broke last year. Didn't make the college football playoff. Got SMU picked over you. Indiana picked over you. It's still Bama. The guys in that locker room, they don't want to be known as the class that it all fell apart. All the stuff that Nick Saban built up, the house on the hill, and it all fell apart because of these guys. I think going back to the original point you made, in that locker room, this one's personal. And at the end of the day, love them, hate them, or whatever, it's still Bama. And the standard is still the same. I got them 11-1. Now, we'll see who we have winning the national championship here later in the year. We got some more single game predictions coming up for the rest of this week. Let us know in the comments if there's a team specifically that you want us to do. We're going to try and hit as many of them as possible, but let us know and make sure you're subscribed. And I'll tell you what, fellas, the greatest time of year is here. The greatest time of year is here. And even though I can't find my card, just like the chances of me not being excited about week zero, week one and a half, week two and three quarters, we're going.
Y'all caught it.
I should have.